Welcome to lesson number 8, From the Stormy Sea to the Clouds of Heaven. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege once more to gather around your word. We pray, Lord, as we do so, your Holy Spirit will teach us all the things which we need to learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, my friends. May the gracious Lord be with you and with your family. And once again, it's my privilege to thank you for your time listening to this. And thank you for praying for us. And today, it's a very important lesson. May I ask you to just take your time to go through and try to understand, because this is the first vision of Daniel, right? Lesson 8, first quarter 2020. The title is From the Stormy Sea to Clouds of Heaven. Okay, to Stormy Sea to the Clouds of Heaven. Memory verse found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. In this lesson, we are going to take up a journey through the second section of the book of Daniel, which is prophetical section. As you know, the book of Daniel is divided into two: story section, prophetical section. So with the last week, we studied the sixth chapter. So from 1 to 6 is like a stories. Okay, about Nebuchadnezzar, about Daniel and the friends and Belshazzar and Darius is all stories. But now, from 7th chapter, we will be seeing some very critical mathematical visions and prophecies, which will give a very clear picture about who is God and where we are living. Okay, so this lesson, which is the 7th chapter, is the beginning of the prophetical section. This chapter is a very challenging chapter, especially for me. I personally wrestled with this chapter, as it is very complicated to understand. I was walking up and down, to scratching my head, and I was trying to understand. In fact, I had to take about 4 or 5 books to read. Then even before I finalized this, some of the things, I went through a great controversy book. And so it's a really, really very important, challenging chapter. Okay, it's complicated to understand. However, by the Spirit of the Lord, we will try our level best to read and understand. Okay, so I'm going straight into the questions. I have about 4 or 5 questions. Hope you will bear with me if I go beyond time. Question number 1, why does God speak not only through stories but also prophecies? Okay, stories is fine. We can understand the character of God. We can understand the sovereignty of God. We can understand his kingdom forever and ever. Okay, he could have stopped with stories. But why he continues in the book of Daniel telling prophecies? Why prophecies are so significant or important in our lives? Okay, I'm going to read 3 texts and I'll give you 3 reasons. Probably if you think why prophecy is so important in your life. You know, some people, when they read the Bible, when prophecy comes, they will turn the pages quickly and go to the easy section. But prophecy is so important. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 46, 9 and 10. Okay, here, let's read. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done. saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Okay, let me read the text again. Okay, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Okay, through prophecies, God explains the end. God explains the plan of salvation. God explains His counsel and pleasure. Okay, so why prophecy? Why I have to read book of Revelation? Why I have to read book of Daniel? Why I have to read some of the prophetical books? Is because God explains His will. God explains the end of the world. And God explains His will and His plan of salvation through prophecies. So God not only explains through stories, but even through prophecies, God explains the end. Okay, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, 21 to 23. Isaiah 41, 21 to 23. "Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them, and know the later end of them, or declare to us things to come." Okay, so actually God is referring the fake God, or idols and statues. So He's challenging people. Okay, ask your God to tell me what's going to happen. Ask your God to tell me what happened in the past. Okay, so God, Jehovah, is challenging the people. Okay, if you really believe the other God, ask your God to tell me the future. And the text says, "Only Jehovah God, only the God who created heaven and earth, the Elohim God, the El Shaddai God, the Adonai God, can predict and establish the future." Okay, so why prophecy? Not only God explains the plan of salvation and His will, and also God proves Himself He is the true God who fulfills the end. Okay, Second Peter chapter 1, I'm reading again 19 and 20 and 21. Second Peter chapter 1, 19 to 21. Okay, I'm reading from New King James Version. Very wonderful text. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Okay, so when you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, here God says, we have some confirmed prophecies which will give us light, which means which will give us great hope. So prophecy, God speaks through prophecy, is not because to confuse people, but to build up hope in Jesus Christ. The God who says the prophecy, the God who fulfills the prophecy, is the true God. Okay, so we are going to go further in order to understand how God fulfills the prophecy and how in all the prophecies, we can understand the character of God. Okay, the second question is, how can we understand wind, sea, and animals? Okay, in the seventh chapter, it says, Daniel spoke and saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea. So what are these mystical symbols? Great sea, great wind, great beast. Okay, so how can we understand wind, sea, and animals? You know, Daniel chapter 7, if you read from 2 to 8, because of a lack of time, I'm not reading it. But when you read Daniel chapter 7, verse 2 to 8, you will come across so many things. Number one, all animals are not domestic, but wild animals. So what you will see in 7th chapter from 2 to 8, okay, you will not see goat, you will not see sheep, or you will not see dogs. But you will see about four things there in that 7th chapter. Number one, all animals are not domestic animals, but wild and imaginary, dreadful animals. And number two, the first three symbols are depicted like. Okay, for example, verse 4. The first was like a lion. Okay, and the second one, like a bear. The third one, like a leopard. But when you come to the fourth animal, it is not like that. Okay, for example, let me read verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, I behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong. You never say like lion, like bear, like leopard. But Daniel never used a word like, because it is typically dreadful animal. The character of a dreadful animal. Okay, fourth beast was dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong. Because it was exceedingly strong. It was a dreadful character. Okay, so it was considered as an animal, but it is a typical character of this animal. Okay, and number three, Daniel chapter 2, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel told the dream and explained, but here, he himself needed a translator or interpreter. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision or a dream, and he forgot the dream and the interpretation he needed. So Daniel, after prayer, came and told the dream and gave the interpretation. But here in this chapter, Daniel himself sees a vision or a dream, but he could not interpret the dream. So he needed an interpreter. Well, that you can see it there in this 7th chapter. And there is one more thing that you will see it in the 7th chapter, is just the introduction to the rest of the chapters in the book of Daniel. So, 7th chapter doesn't stand as a single individual entity, but the whole chapter is an introduction to rest of the chapters in the book of Daniel. Therefore, you don't have to be confused when Daniel 7th chapter seems confusing you. Okay, right. Let's come to the chapter. What do you mean by four winds? Okay, if you read Jeremiah chapter 49, 36 to 38. Jeremiah chapter 49, 36 to 38, you will come across four winds. Four winds represents war and conflict. Okay, and also you can read Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, Jeremiah 25, 31 to 33. So in all this text, you can understand in Daniel 7th chapter, four winds come. Okay, this four winds is nothing but war, conflict. It's not a simple conflict. It's the four direction of the world, which means it's a cosmic war, cosmic conflict. Okay, secondly, what is Great Sea? You all know about it when you read Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, and Isaiah chapter 8, verse 7. Water, the mass body of water, or like sea, represents people, multitude. Okay, people and multitude. So as we see, these four beasts raised up from a great sea, which means this beast or the power or the kingdom that we are going to see, okay, did not come from desert or some land, but it came from people. Okay, people. Okay, let me quickly read one or two lines. Okay, probably you will see more about in the page 90 in your book. Okay, all right, let me see. Okay, first beast is like a lion. Okay, Jeremiah chapter, I think I have to read this. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7. Okay, the first beast is like a lion. What lion is represents? Immediately you can say Babylon. Okay, that's true. But how can he say it is Babylon? Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7 says, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nation is on this way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitants. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail. For the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. Okay, so the lion represents Babylon. Okay, because the Jeremiah chapter 4 is clearly talking about Babylon. Not only that, the archaeologist found out many paintings of lion with wings when they dug the Babylon. Okay, they found so many portraits or paintings with lion with wings, which represent Babylon. Okay, so what is lion represents? Lion represents Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, but as you read, probably I have to read it. Okay, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to him. So how do you describe that? How do you describe that? Okay. There, the wings were plucked. What do you mean by wings were plucked? Which means it could not fly any longer. Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal. Okay, because of his pride, because of his sin. Okay, the most powerful king in the Babylonian Empire lost his kingdom. In the sense, he became an animal. But he stood like a man, and man's heart was given to him. What do you mean by that? It talks about his repentance. Okay, his conversion. Okay, he became man again. Heart, man's heart was given to him, and he stood like man again. Okay, it's a complete story about Daniel. Daniel was not at all confused with this because he knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, second. Verse 5. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side. It raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, rise, devour much flesh. Okay, what do you mean by bear? Raised upon one side. You know, after Babylon, Medo Persia came. Okay, it's two kingdom. One kingdom is more powerful than the other kingdom. That's why it's called the bear raised up on one side, which means is lifted up and one shoulder is quite up, showing that Medians are stronger than the Persians. What do you mean by three ribs that the bear had? Okay, Medo-Persians defeated three major kingdoms. Okay, number one, Egypt. Number two, Babylon. And number three, Lydia. Okay, so these three ribs. Okay, and the third one, leopard. What do you mean by leopard? When we see, it's quite strange animal. After this, I saw in the night vision. I'm sorry, sixth verse. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard. Okay, leopard represents swiftness or fast. Okay, or the fastest animal in the world, which had on its back four wings of a bird. Okay, it represents swiftness, fast. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. To it means four heads. Okay, so you know about it. After Medo-Persia, the kingdom of Greece came, who is the most important king in the Greek kingdom. It's Alexander the Great. While he was still 30s, okay, he almost conquered the whole world. Okay, he talks about swiftness. He had four wings like a bird. He flew all over the world and conquered it in his 30s. But he died. He died. So just before his death, he gave his kingdom to four of his commanders. Okay, what are the four commanders' name and what are the kingdoms given to them? Okay, number one, Gazander. Okay, that's the first commander. And Gazander was given Greece and Macedonia. Then Lysimachus, that's the second commander, was given Pydinia. Okay, or Pydania. And number three, Ptolemy. Okay, the king Ptolemy or commander Ptolemy was given Egypt. Then last, Seleucus was given Syria. Okay, so it's exactly happened as it was prophesied. Although Daniel did understand the lion, although Daniel did understand the bear, okay, but it was quite future for Daniel when he saw about the leopard. Okay, let's come to the fourth one, which is so interesting. The dreadful animal. Okay, dreadful animal. And this, after this, I saw a night vision. And behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. Okay, this is where we need to pause and study. What do you mean by it was different than the other animals? The other animals were focusing only political things. But this animal is both political and also religious power. Okay, the other three, although they were supporting the religion, they did not involve directly into the religion. But the fourth religion directly involving in religion as well. Okay, and we call it pagan Rome. Okay, pagan Rome. We will study in detail as we go further. So, lion represents Babylon. The king is Nebuchadnezzar. Bear represents Medo-Persia. The leopard represents Greece or Alexander. Then the dreadful animal or the fourth animal represents pagan Rome. Okay, so you know about it. So I need to just explain. Okay, third question. What is the job description of the little horn or little horn? Because as you see in verse 8, I was considering the horns and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out of the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking pompous words. So what is the job description of this little horn, okay, which came out of the dreadful animal? Because the dreadful animal had 10 horns, okay? And all of a sudden, one horn came up, and that is called little horn. Okay, what is the job description of the little horn? Let me just go through quickly. So if you have any other suggestions, you can say. Number one, according to this chapter, number one, its most powerful entity in the fourth kingdom. Although there are other kingdoms as well in the fourth kingdom, this little horn kingdom is most powerful entity. Number two, both political and religious power is administered by this little horn. As I said, both political, this little horn, say in my words, like a president in the country, so also president in the church, both head of the political world and also religious world. And three, it spoke against the Most High, and the little horn wanted to be equal with the Most High. Okay, so what is the job description? So this little horn is trying to be most powerful entity, most powerful head for political and religious. And also, he little horn, the job description in this chapter, he wants to be equal and above the Most High. And fourth one, it persecuted the saints of the Most High. And five, attempt to change the laws and the times. Okay, let me read, who am I talking about? Okay, who do you think that these characters can fit in? Okay, who is most powerful in the fourth kingdom? And who is the leader or head of the political world and the religious world? And who spoke against the Most High? And who wants to be equal with Most High? And who persecute the saints of the Most High? And who attempt to change the laws and the times? Let me read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 10. Okay. All right. You will see who I am talking about, or who this chapter is talking about. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses from 2 to 10, but I will just read a few texts, then I will stop. And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be all able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 4. No one engaged in war. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong text. 2 Thessalonians. That's why I just paused a little. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading from 2. It's my mistake. I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from 2. Okay, let me read from 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter as it from us, as though the day of the Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. So before Jesus comes, the falling away will come. Okay, who is the falling away? And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, who exalts above God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as that he is God. Okay, so when you try to compare the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from 2 and Daniel 7th chapter, you can understand it clearly talks about little horn. Okay, so we will see who is that. Okay, all right. The next question, okay, quite very important and interesting. Okay, now we are coming to the second section of this Daniel 7th chapter. I want you to please listen to me very carefully, because after 9th verses, it is completely confusing. Okay, because Daniel will keep saying, as I was watching, I watched, okay, and as I was watching in the night vision, and I watched then because of the sound. So he will keep on saying this. It seems to me Daniel is confused when he heard the dream. Okay, he was completely troubled when he wrote this. Okay, all right. Let's very carefully study this. Okay, question number 2. How do you understand Son of Man, Ancient of Days, Most High, Judgment? Because these verses will keep mentioning in 7th chapter when you read from verse 9. Son of Man will come. Who is this Son of Man? Ancient of Days. Who is this Ancient of Days? Most High. Who is this Most High? And Judgment. Okay, so we will see this. This is the second major part in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. If you just read it verse by verse, it will be impossible for you to understand. Okay, I suggest very strongly that you don't have to read verse by verse, because you will completely confused. But to take chance, you can first one or two times read the whole chapter verse by verse and see whether you really understand it or not. Because I personally experienced confusion when I read it verse by verse. So when you finish reading chapter 7 verses 1 to 6, you need to rearrange the verses. Okay, right? So once you read from 1 to say like 8, okay, you are okay with it. Okay, so you will easily understand. But as soon as you start 9th verse, you will certainly be confused. So you need to be very careful when you read it, because this chapter has many scenes. Okay? Daniel says, I have seen in the night vision, I was watching, as I said. Therefore, once you finished verse 8 or verse 6, okay, you need to start reading. Okay, let me say that. Once you finished verse 6, you start 7, 8, then jump to 11, 12, then jump to 22. You will see the consequence, you will see the sequence there. 7, 8, 11, 12, and 22. We can call it Daniel's dream. Okay, Daniel's dream. Okay, for example, let me read it. Verse 7. And after this, I saw the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, a dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, the little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horn were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like eyes of man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. If you read 9, you'll be confused, because it's a two different scene. So after you finish 8, then you come to 11. You see, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words. So verse 8 finishes with pompous words. Verse 11 will continue with the pompous words. If you continue 9th verse, you will be certainly confused. So I'm trying to suggest to you to read 7, 8, then 11. I watched then because of the sound of pompous words, which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. But if you read 13, you'll be confused. So I'm taking you to 22. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth. So there is a continuation, dream and the explanation of the dream. Okay, so you need to understand Daniel's dream. 7, 8, 11, 12, and 22. Okay, so that's dream. But when you come to the explanation of the dream, you have to start with 15, 16, 17, don't read 18, then come to 19, 20, then up to 27. You will see the explanation of the dream so that you will be able to see the dream, then the explanation of the dream. 15, 16, 17, no 18, but 19, then 22, 27. Okay, then you will have the explanation of the dream by an angel. Okay, then there is something else is coming in this chapter called judgment. So if you want to see only the judgment area, you have to read 9, 10, 13, 14, 21 and 18 after that. Okay, then you will have the judgment plans. Okay, so you will have the scene and the section if you read like that. Then the seventh chapter will be completely understandable for you. Okay, so you have to have a three scene. Scene number one, dream. 7, 8, 11, 12, 22. Scene number two, explanation of the dream by this angel. 15, 16, 17, then 19 to 27. Then the judgment scene. 9, 10, 13, 14, 21, then 18. So if you miss this order, you will certainly be confused. Because I tried to read many books to understand. In fact, I was completely confused. I was praying, Lord, please help me. How can I understand this? For example, okay, let me say something so that you will understand. Okay, right, yeah, please. I tried to read many books to understand. For example, Son of God. Who is this Ancient of Days? Because the name of the Father or God, Ancient of Days, mentioned only in this seventh chapter in the entire book. Not only book of Daniel, entire Bible. Ancient of Days. Okay? Then who is Most High? Then the second thing which was confusing me, what kind of judgment? Okay, because there are many phases of judgment. So which judgment it is talking about? All right? Okay, I'll give an example. Okay, I'm going to read. Let me leave that. I'll come to chapter 7, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued, okay, and came forth from before him. A thousand of thousand ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Okay, so the verse 9 says, Ancient of Days. Okay, so the verse 9 says, Ancient of Days. Okay, I'm reading 13. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Okay, and they brought him, and he came to the Ancient Days, and they brought him near before him. Okay, so verse 9 talks about only Ancient of Days. When you come to 13, verse 13, Ancient of Days and also Son of Man, two entity or two person. I'm reading verse 21. Okay, here is the transition. Verse 21. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Okay, prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and the judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. Here the new name is coming. Okay, verse 9, Ancient of Days. Verse 13, Son of Man and Ancient Days. When you come to verse 21 and 22, here Ancient of Days and Most High, two coming. So who is this Ancient of Days and who is this Most High God? Who is this Son of Man in verse 13 and who is the Ancient of Days there? Okay, let me go again. Verse 26 and 27. Okay, you will find another thing. But the court shall be seated and they shall take away his dominion. Okay, his means little horn. Who's taking? Is it Most High? Is it Ancient of Days or Son of Man? No, it's talking about 26. But the court shall be seated and they shall take away his dominion. Who is they? It is not one, but more than one. Right? So we need to very clearly understand who is this Ancient Days, who is this Most High, who is the Son of God, who is this they. Okay, we need to be very clearly understand this when you read about. Okay. All right. Because all of them is talking about a judgment. Okay, it's a judgment. Okay, we need to very clearly that Father and Son, Jesus Christ, is sitting together and judging the little horn. There is only one time that Father and the Son sitting together, according to Daniel 7, is about the investigative judgment in 1844. You can say, Pastor Melky, how can you say 1844? When you come to 88th chapter, okay, you will have a very clear-cut understanding. Okay, how the Son of Man, as verse 13 says, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient Days, and they brought him near before him. Okay? Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Okay? So, the seventh chapter is not only talking about three kingdoms, then the fourth kingdom, then the little horn, then the rest of the chapter is talking about the judgment about the little horn. Okay, all right, about the little horn. So how can we say that the little horn, okay, will be judged, or his subordinate or assistants and believers and followers will be judged in 1844 is because when you read 22 and 23, okay, let me read 23 onwards. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdom, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. And 10 horns are 10 kings who shall rise from the kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first one and shall subdue three kings. and he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the laws and the law, and their saints shall be given unto his hands for the time and the times and the half a time. Okay, this is the mathematical period. Okay, so right after that time, times and the half a time, okay, the court shall be seated. Okay, so the next chapter we will see the mathematical explanation about the time, times and the half a time. That will end in 1844. So when the power was taken from the little horn, the judgment will start. Okay, you can see in 18th century, okay, the little horn lost the power and was imprisoned, arrested and died. The power and authority was taken from him. Okay, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Okay, so the whole seventh chapter, half of the whole chapter is talking about the judgment, or the investigative judgment started in 1844. Okay, and the last one, how do you know the investigative judgment started? As I told you, okay, we will continue studying 8th chapter, okay, in a week. And by God's grace, you will understand exactly what happened in October 1844. What happened in the most holy place? What happened to the sanctuary? What happened to the cleansing of the sanctuary? We will see in 8th chapter. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful chapter. And we have seen the introduction to 8th and 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th chapters. Help us to be aware and careful, and help us to be saved in the judgment time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.